Hey, Tom here. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We're coming to you from inside the ScoMo Express. We're parked here on the side of the road in Townsville. Yep, we made it. It's been a hell of a ride. Shout out to Mick Fanning's mum. Let's riff on the big stories of the week.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison has kicked off a tour of Queensland.
Ex-servicemen and women have ridiculed Virgin Australia's decision to introduce a salute.
Esports have changed the way we compete.
Age is just a number and you're as old as you feel.
The Prime Minister has dubbed it the ScoMo Express.
On Triple J.
All right, we're not really on the ScoMo Express. It's all over. It wrapped up yesterday. I'm in the Triple J studio, though, ready to take your calls. And Thurston's joined us. Thurston, you're a former soldier, and you wanted to talk about how to recognise veterans after the Virgin fail this week. What was your reaction to that idea of recognising vets on planes as they boarded?
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Firstly, I think it's a really good gesture from Virgin to sort of bring something out into the open and say that they recognise the service of veterans. But I just think it could have the opposite effect of its intention. I think that Aussies as a whole, we're really quite humble people, and that characteristic's really sort of multiplied in veterans. And I think that the biggest thing that that Aussie culture struggles with is that tall poppy syndrome. Mm. Give me a second, hang on.
Yeah, no worries. It can be hard to talk about. It's pretty emotional stuff, reflecting on your service. I know that you served in Afghanistan. What do you feel like is the best way that you want other Australians to recognise what you've done?
Well, veterans don't really need that recognition. We don't do it for the recognition. The reason we do it is we have the opportunity to be able to serve our country, and that's our reward for that is having a safe place to live for our friends, our family, ourselves. That's our reward. We don't really need one. However, I think that if people do feel that need to reward veteran service, it should be something that's really behind the scenes, sort of not really publicised that much. Mm. And because the biggest thing that, in my experience, that I've noticed is veterans on their transition out of the military service, it's really hard to fit in back to normal life as it would be. And there's quite a few things that you don't want to stand out from the public. You just want to be a part of them. And having, you know, a cheers and an applause on a plane, it's not what's needed. It could have make it feel like they're put on a pedestal, and they don't really need that. My suggestion, if Virgin wanted to do something, maybe a small discount or access to the lounge or something smaller that's directly at veterans, not sort of praising and not cheering them. I think that would work better, mate.
Yeah, all right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and reflecting your thoughts on such an important topic, Thurston.
Thanks, Tom.
We'll dig into that one later. It is Remembrance Day on Sunday, as we remember the end of the First World War, and consider all the more recent vets as well. I'd love to hear from you later in the show. What do you think is the right way to recognise veterans? We just heard from one there. You are listening to the Friday Shake-Up on Hack. This is where you get your say on the big stories of the week. And the gesture from Virgin Airlines to recognise vets in that way was a big story at the start of the week. There's a whole lot more that's going to go down on the show today. And hanging out with you today is comedian from The Feed on SBS, Alex Lee. Alex, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, pleasure to be here.
Our other guest is Tom McElroy. He's a reporter for the Australian Financial Review, coming at you from Parliament House. How are you doing, Tom?
Great, Tom. Great to be with you.
Yep. All right. Great to have you on the show. I'd love to know, what was your verdict on the ScoMo Express? Was it a cheesy waste of time or a good way for the new Prime Minister to make himself known to Australian voters? Did it help him make himself, known as being someone different from Malcolm Turnbull? Well, can you kind of smell it a mile away when a Prime Minister or any politician is trying to be a man of the people? Give me a call, 1300 055 36. In case you missed the ScoMo Express, it was a four-day trip where he went from Gold Coast to the Townsville this week. Basically said he wanted to meet voters, hear their concerns, and, of course, shore up some seats that could swing to Labor in next year's election. There were some cringeworthy but memorable moments. He met Mick Fanning's mum, ate a meat pie, went to the races, flew most of the way in a plane, got chased by the truth bus, and made a couple of policy announcements. Here are some of the highlights.
You know, it's not just Taylor Swift who'll be in Queensland next week. The reason I'm going to be in Queensland next week is because we're listening to Queenslanders and we're hearing Queenslanders about the important priorities that you have.
All good, ScoMo out.
Anyone that gives himself a nickname needs to be roasted on social media.
G'day, Elizabeth. Mick Fanning's mum. Thanks very much for the hat.
But I think that's part of his pull. You know, it's more people can relate to him on that level.
Trying to mess with the ScoMo Express. Scott Morrison's bus is stalked by a Labor truck.
Prime Minister, you're on the bus tour.
Yeah.
Why are you flying?
I mean, these visits aren't about sitting on a bus. Because it gets me from A to B.
So you'll be flying to Rockhampton?
I'll get into Rockhampton tonight. The bus can't get me there quick enough, so I've got to fly.
It's embarrassing. Oh, it's all show. It's the opposite. It's publicity.
So do you think maybe his marketing background is actually coming back to bite him?
Well, the thing is, he wasn't very good at marketing. Don't forget, he was in charge of the biggest Tourism Australia fail in Tourism Australia history. Where the bloody hell are you? So his bad marketing skills have come back to bother him, I think. He might think he's good at marketing, but he's clearly not.
Triple J.
That's Dee Madigan's verdict. What was yours on the ScoMo Express? And if you saw Turnbull on Q&A last night, what was your reaction to his performance? Give me a call, 1300 055 36, 1300 055 36. Rob from Byron chiming in again. Scott Morrison is a Stephen Bradbury of Australian politics. That question came up on Q&A as well last night. Alex Lee, was there any merit in the ScoMo Express?
I mean, he got to have a few pictures where he looked like a normal bloke, but I think that, you know, it's very hard for any politician to look like a real person because they're really not real people, are they?
Yeah. What about you, Tom? I mean, a lot of people in the, I guess, the media clique, the out-of-touch media bubble elitists thought it was ridiculous and really cynical about it. Do you think voters in Queensland would have felt the same way?
Well, I think that's the critical test of the ScoMo Express. If rubbing shoulders with punters in all the places that you mentioned is going to pay off, it'll be very much needed for Scott Morrison. It looked terrible from Canberra, but if on the ground he's meeting voters and winning people over and building his name recognition and his kind of image, people get to know him a bit more, that's a good thing. But the optics from afar, not so much.
On the text line, still can't believe his Facebook page has ScoMo on it. So cringe. Another listener says, all politicians are the same, so it doesn't matter who's in charge, hence why I don't vote. Don't give up. It's still worth paying attention. Matt from Victoria, what was your read on it? Matt, did you keep your eye on the ScoMo Express?
No, mate. I just make a quick comment that I think we're being a little bit harsh on him there. The size of this country, I can sort of understand someone of his level probably needing to spend more time in the office than driving up the road on a bus. I've just recently travelled to Australia myself and...
Yeah, right.
...trying to get from A to B.
Yeah, you're talking about the fact he got on the jet for some of the bigger legs of the trip. What did you make of the overall way that this trip looked? I mean, essentially it seemed he was electioneering, but we're 6 months out from an election.
Yeah, look, I think it's not too up-to-date with politics myself a lot, but I think having a politician who's... got a nickname for a start and getting out there to see the people is not a bad thing, and I guess Australia's had a lot of leaders over the last 5 years with a lot of changes. I think he's doing a pretty good job. He's getting out there and getting amongst the people, so that's probably a good start.
All right, thanks for the call, Matt.
Thanks, buddy.
Love to hear from you as well. 1300 055 36 on the text line. Of course he should fly between the major centres. It'll be a huge waste of time to ride on the bus for the long trips. He's getting to lots of locations. He was at a lunch today for Lifeline and made some interesting comments about asylum seekers. He said that he's prayed and cried for asylum seeker children.
And you'll find yourself on your knees. You'll find yourself in tears. You'll find yourself wrestling with this tough stuff.
You've been on your knees in tears.
Of course I have. Why wouldn't I be?
Yeah, interesting comments. Veteran journo Mike Carlton wrote on Twitter that proves there's no God. What did you make of those comments, Tom?
Well, this is the man who has a sign in his office, a little metal boat that says, I stopped these. So it's very curious from the person who takes credit for the hardline immigration policy, Operation Sovereign Borders, to now be telling us that he's on his knees crying. I was surprised by this. I think it fits in with the video we saw from a church a few weeks ago of him in Melbourne praying. Good to see another side of our leaders, but definitely... out of step with his usual position on immigration.
On the text line, If ScoMo wants a true representation of what people think, get him on Hack and let's talk. Steve from the Central Coast. Yes, we must renew our bid to get Scott Morrison on the program. That would be fantastic. Someone's texting in about the veteran we had on at the start of the show. KB from Sydney says, that vet is a beautiful human.
Well, I think if the government or Virgin had talked to veterans groups like the RSL about this, we would have warned them about translating this idea from America to Australia.
You are listening to Triple J's Hack Program. It's Friday. It's your chance to have your say on the big stories of the week and hanging out with you today. Kicking them around is Tom McElroy, reporter from the Australian Financial Review, and Alex Lee, comedian at The Feed on SBS. And Sunday, as I mentioned before, is Remembrance Day. It's the 11th day of the 11th month each year. This year, it marks 100 years since Armistice Day, which was the end of World War One. And in the 4 years of World War One, 330,000 Australians served overseas and more than 60,000 died. To give you a sense of scale relative to the more recent conflicts, around 40,000 Australians served in or directly supported the operations in Iraq and Afghanistan for Australia. And the question we're still struggling with is how to recognise those people who served in the recent conflicts. It's a really important question. And if we get it right, it might help us lower the devastating suicide rate amongst veterans. This week, I think we learnt how not to recognise Australian veterans. It came out that Virgin Airlines, in some kind of coordination with the federal government, were planning to give veterans priority boarding and a shout-out when they got on the plane. Within a day, they'd put that idea on ice, citing the need for consultation with veterans. Here's part of the story.
Hack. Hero veterans will soon board Aircraft First as part of a new plan to honour our diggers.
I think the veterans might want a discount on the airfares, but look, it's something that's been put forward overnight. I think as we do our consultation with the ex-service organisations, we'll get a better idea of what exactly they would like to see in that regard.
I've worked with a lot of the veterans. I think they'd find it terribly embarrassing. I think this is a marketing ploy by Virgin. Good luck to them if they want to use it as a PR exercise, marketing ploy.
It just feels a little bit cheesy, I think, to me and to a large number of veterans I've spoken to. I mean, there'll be some who love this idea, and you can see that Virgin's got some goodwill towards veterans behind it, but it just doesn't translate that well to Australia. I think we're looking for different ways to make sure veterans are respected and helped.
On Triple J.
I'd love to know what you think, especially if you are a veteran or you're a friend or a family member of one. What is the right way you think we should respect our returned vets from recent conflicts? Give me a call, 1300 055 36, 1300 055 36. Alex Lee, what did you make of the Virgin plan?
Well, it's just a bit gross, isn't it? Like we heard from Thurston, the diggers and the veterans actually want something which can help them, like discounts or access to the lounge. But it seems like all these brands are doing are aligning themselves with the goodwill we have towards veterans and doing something public. Like if they did really want to help them, they surely would have consulted them first, because it seems like it's just blown up in their faces in the most spectacular way.
So it's completely for appearance sake, no actual material gift of any kind.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, getting on the plane first isn't even that good, because then you're stuck on the plane for longer, you know?
Tom, what did you think of it? And particularly, what did you think of the way it seemed to be part of the government's plan? I mean, the story was actually dropped in the Courier Mail on Sunday. It wasn't like Virgin gave a press conference about this. Scott Morrison was quoted in that story. The head of Virgin was quoted in the story as well. It seemed like they were working together. But before long, the government was saying, oh, this idea is not going down very well. Maybe they should offer more.
Yeah, that's right. It was very curious on Sunday. The Veterans Affairs Minister was on TV and immediately was a bit lukewarm about it. The Prime Minister didn't speak on Sunday. He'd been speaking about veterans issues all the week before. So I think straight away they felt that this hadn't landed exactly as they'd hoped and was maybe a bit out of step with some of the other plans they'd announced. And it got worse as the days went on this week, to the point where I think Virgin will probably drop this. They've talked about doing more consultation or any consultation at all. I'd also note that in America, in my experience, it's active service people who are often in uniform who get these kind of privileges as opposed to veterans. I just don't see it translating well in Australia.
On the text line, really simple, veterans protected us, we should protect them. Gordon, another listener with an even simpler idea, just give them platinum status. Brad, your dad's a vet. What did you make of this story?
Mate, I just think that veterans would just want their pensions
looked after me to start off with as a gesture. I mean, my dad was a 26-year serving member, and the grief that he's going through now as an A-class pensioner through that process has just been absolutely devastating for the family, I think. And the stuff that he has to go through, the letters in the mail and the phone calls that he receives about maintaining his pension as somebody who was injured, mate, I think that would be a great step.
Absolutely.
Not even discounts from flights.
Yeah, we've heard a lot of that same situation over the years, that the administration process of getting the financial support you need is just time-consuming, extremely irritating for a lot of people, especially when at the end of it they don't get what they deserve. Thanks for calling in, Brad.
No problem. Thanks, mate.
Lockie, you're a vet yourself. What do you think?
Hello.
G'day, mate. You're a vet yourself, I believe. What do you think of this debate?
I think, Tom, no matter what the outcome, whatever any major corporation does, it's going to be viewed on as a PR stunt, because we're a pretty cynical and analytical bunch, and we really don't like to be known as ex-serving members or current serving members especially.
So what if they did something behind the scenes?
Yeah, that could probably be better, but surely they could offer 10% of every airfare goes towards some form of charity that supports struggling members, instead of helping someone who get on the plane a bit earlier than, a grandmother.
What about this suggestion from a listener, Lockie? Don't embarrass the vets, just quietly bump them up to first class.
Well, the greedy part of me says that sounds brilliant. But in reality, they could be doing something better than helping the people who generally don't really need all that much help. Help the people who need it.
Okay.
People struggling with post-traumatic stress.
Yeah, there's another text I want to put to you as well, Lockie. One day of the year for recognition and respect, which is an interesting question if you're thinking about people returned from recent conflicts. Do they need a day that specifically recognises their contribution? I mean, how will you reflect on your contribution on Sunday, which is a day that marks the end of the First World War?
Me personally, I live in Collector, I'll take my two young kids and we'll go to the war memorial.
Yeah, right. Okay. All right. Thanks so much for calling in, Lockie, and hope you have a good day on Sunday.
That's all right. See you, Tom, mate.
Lockie from Warrnambool says, I feel odd for actually agreeing with Pauline Hanson about something, but it is absolutely a marketing ploy. Kim from Lilyfield in Sydney says, my brother joined the army because he didn't know what else to do. He gets a life pension, which seems like a good reward. Veterans are people who got well paid to do a job they chose to do. Paramedics and police face similar dangers every day.
Electronic sports or esports have changed the way we compete.
On Triple J.
You're listening to Hack. Hope you're having a great afternoon. It's Friday, which means on Hack you get your say on the biggest stories of the week. I think we might be getting closer to dropping the E in esports. The world of gaming has changed big time in the last 10 years. I mean, it's always changing. Now there's tons of money to be made, millions of Twitch stream followers to be gained, and in 2022... esports will be properly part of the Asian Games. You'll actually be able to win a medal and go towards your country's medal tally. One day it might even be part of the Olympics. They have been considering it. Yesterday we learned that you can now get an esports scholarship to the University of Technology in Queensland.
Your TIA champion!
The scene is getting bigger and bigger everywhere in the world. It's starting to become mainstream.
The skills that young people learn in traditional sports, teamwork, leadership, communication, all of these really important social skills, esports teaches people exactly that, and they do it for kids that might not have otherwise fit into that traditional sporting model.
There's a lot of parallels that we can see, in terms of the pressures involved, from a cognitive level to that of professional sport.
Hack with Tom Tilley, Triple J.
Love to hear from you. Do you have a problem with a university giving 10 grand scholarships to gamers? And how do you define a sport? Anyway, give me a call. 1300 055 36, 1300 055 36. Maybe you're an aspiring Olympian in esports. I'd love to hear from you as well. 1300 0555 36. Alex, what do you make of these scholarships?
Oh, look, I don't really have a problem with it. I think that any sports scholarships is sort of a cynical ploy for a university anyway, because they, you know, get to have good athletes who compete with their university's name on their back. So, I mean, how is it getting good at an e-sport?
So you don't like scholarships at all for any sport?
Oh, I don't. I just think it's a bit pointless. Like, I mean,
but sport is part of like a university life.
Sure, but like, I mean, if a sport draws lots of people into a stadium, which esports does, and requires motor skills and you know, quick hand-eye coordination, and is entertaining, I mean, how does that make it different from any other sport?
Yeah, Tom, do you see much difference?
No. In a lot of ways, I think it's very similar. I'd be interested to observe how the crowd would interact with these kind of sports at the Asian Games. Imagine if the Commonwealth Games had thought of this first as an institution that's struggling to stay relevant. I think they might be a bit jealous of this idea.
Yeah, interesting point. Jared, you follow esports. What do you think of these scholarships?
I think it's a fantastic idea. I'm 25 years old, and I still watch esports now. The guys who play esports, like, you actually have to watch these guys and see how good they are.
And how do you compare it to other traditional sports?
I agree with what was said before, that, you know, these guys, they show leadership qualities, and, you know, they have captains in every team. So, yeah, it's not obviously not a physical sport, but, yeah, it does compare to normal sports.
Yeah, I mean, it's an age-old question, like, what makes a sport and what makes a game? Does a sport necessarily need physical exertion? What does that mean when it comes to chess, when a game can go for hours? Does that make it a sport because it's so grueling? How do you define a sport, Jared?
That's a good question. I suppose anything that has an outcome of winning or losing, and brings out the best in people, brings out the competition in people, I suppose.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call. Zane, what do you think?
I believe that, you know, esports is completely, like, it's a good thing because, you know, like that quote said, these people, they're, you know, they're learning a lot from, you know, like, teamwork and how to actually overcome issues and stuff like that in a gaming scape.
Yeah, all right, thanks for the call. Aaron, do you see much difference between esports and sport?
Not really. I mean, this is an opportunity for people who wouldn't qualify for something like the Paralympics and are definitely not physical enough to do the normal Olympics to actually get a go.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. Thanks for the call, Aaron. Tom in Newcastle, you're a gamer. Are you going to try and get one of these scholarships?
No, I'm way beyond the point of getting a scholarship, but I have been professional gaming for the past 6-7 years, and I've brought in probably about $6,000 or $7,000 in that span, and it's actually a career that you can actually follow, and you can do it from the home, and it's quite easy for people these days to do it.
Wow, so you've been doing it about 7 years, and as you said, you've made some prize money. How much has it changed in those 7 years?
Well, when I first started out, it was only small prize pools are actually available, and some games are actually reaching in the $1 million mark when it comes to some of the prize pools. One game, for instance, Dota, has a prize pool of $1.6 to $2.3 million. So it's quite lucrative in that aspect.
And how would you feel if it became part of the Olympics?
I think it would make kids strive that are constantly playing video games these days, that it could actually be a career point for them, because it learns, makes them learn how to code games as well and how mechanics of games work. So it's not only on the side of professional gaming, but it allows them to push into the actual field that isn't going anywhere, in my opinion.
Yeah, interesting. All right, thanks so much for calling in, Tom.
That's all good, anytime.
Ados in Canberra says, this celebration of esports is great. I like sport, but just for the competitiveness, not the social and health aspects. So I really like esports because it ignores those two useless aspects. Demi from Melbourne says, my school runs esports tournaments at lunch. As a teacher, I'm still conflicted. Tom, how would you feel about esports becoming part of the Olympics?
Yeah, I'm not sure about the Olympics. I mean, there's obviously you talked about huge sponsorship and tournaments happening around the world, but the Olympics I see is more of, you know, traditional sports. So it'd take a bit to get me over the line in that respect. But strategy, teamwork, communications, those things are pretty important to Olympic sports. So maybe I can be talked around.
Liam, you used to work in the gaming industry. What do you make of these scholarships at the Queensland University of Technology? Do you think they'll make a big impact?
I think they're a little bit behind the times, unfortunately. So they could have made a big impact if they'd started doing the same time as other universities around the world. But realistically, I'd say that Australia is at least 5 to 10 years behind on the esports bandwagon. Like South Korea's had these available for at least almost 10 years now for different games. You've definitely been able to do it in America as well. The UK wasn't far behind them. And so Australia's just finally jumping on the bandwagon of esports, but unfortunately it's kind of missed the big push that was, I'd say, 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, okay, interesting. So what are the ramifications of us being behind the eight ball in this area?
Well, it means that there's a big, like, vacuum, I guess, of good Australian players. Anyone who's been really top in esports from Australia in the last 10 years has really just had to go overseas. So you see a couple of people playing, like in the Overwatch League over in America. There's, I think, 2 Australian players, but a majority of them, especially if they've got a heritage other than citizenship in countries other than Australia, so South Koreans, Japanese, Chinese, I mean, they held those citizenships, they've been going over there and playing and essentially being claimed under those citizenships. So it means that Australia isn't really well represented in the leagues overall.
So they'll be killing it in the Asian Games in 2022. Thanks for the call, Liam.
Thanks, man.
Nick from Avalon says, I'd rather watch a match of professional gaming over football any day. Someone else says, how's playing a computer game a sport? Having it in the Olympics is an insult to real athletes. Dee from Mullumbimby says, if chess is a sport, why not? What's the difference? Nate says, if shooting can be an Olympic sport, I'm sure esports can. Another listener says, esports are ridiculous, not a sport. University scholarship for playing games, ridiculous.
Hack. Age is just a number and you're as old as you feel. But for one Dutch pensioner, those expressions are cold comfort. 69-year-old Emil Rattelband has launched a legal battle against his local government, suing to be recognized as 20 years younger than his actual age. He argues that he faces age discrimination from potential employers and potential love interests on the dating application Tinder. Well, so he's fighting to legally change his birth date.
On Triple J.
Yeah, very interesting story. A 69-year-old Dutch guy called Emil Rattelband. He thinks age is just a number. He's 69, but he wants his age changed to another number, 49. How old do you think you feel you are? I mean, and how different is it from what's on your birth certificate? I'd love to know, do you feel like you're actually way behind your real age or you're older than your real age? Give me a call, 1-300-055-36. Tom, how old do you feel?
I sometimes feel a bit older than I think I am, sometimes a bit younger, but I don't know.
So when you feel older, is that because you work at a financial publication?
Oh, no, I'm faking it in that respect. But sometimes I feel a bit energy zapped, feel a little bit older than I actually am. Other times I think I could definitely be a few years younger. I'm not going to try and change my age, but I am maybe going to start calling myself a positivity guru like this guy. I like that.
Yeah, you might get on TV more. Someone's texted in saying, isn't he age discriminating against 69-year-olds? I guess so in a way. But yeah, Alex, what do you think? Do you feel your age?
Yeah, I do. I think I do. I did when I became pregnant because I was like, oh crap, all right, I'm an adult now. Like, I really got to start acting my age because I'll be looking after a human soon. I think it's also, particularly I think for women, when you turn 30, it's a good bar to be like, all right, I'm not, you know, I'm mature now. I'm not going to tolerate much bullshit, you know.
And what do you think of this Dutch guy? Do you think he has a point in any way?
I think it's quite insulting what he said about it being comparable to transgender people being able to change their gender on a birth certificate. I mean, it's not the same at all. He's just trying to avoid the inevitable for all of us. You know, and death's coming for us all, but you can't run from it by changing a number on a certificate.
Yeah, and the older you get, the less you're likely to get dates on Tinder, which seems to be his main problem by the sounds of it.
Maybe he should stop calling himself a positivity guru.
Yeah, maybe it's not the best byline on your Tinder. Someone else says, awful idea, I'm 24, but I have a condition that makes me feel about 85. No thanks. Someone else says, I turned 18 again when my girlfriend broke up with me. All right. Tom McElroy from the Australian Financial Review, thank you for joining us today. And Alex Lee, thank you as well.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks.
That is all we have time for on Hack this week. Thank you so much for all your calls and texts. A big shout out to Hack's hardworking executive producer, Laura McAuliffe, and radio producer, Serge Negus, and all the hardworking reporters on the Hack team. Thank you so much for all your hard work this week.
Hack on Triple J.
All right, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Catch you next week.